And welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 12 minutes after 9 o'clock, Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Joe was a late scratch today, touch of the ague, you know. And he's,
the ague?
Yes, and he's back. He'll be probably resting now, and he'll be back maybe in the next day or two. So it's very exciting to have you all with us. And who's that? Well, it's WAMC's Alan Shartok, our man about town. Also, political consultant Libby Post is here, and University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. You can also comment on our webpage, and I know there's a sort of a campaign to get people to do that. So what you do is you go to wamc.org/roundtable, okay? And then you'll see a post for today's program. There's a spot down below to comment. It'll take a moment or two for the producers to approve the comment. We got to make sure you're not swearing, basically. And then it'll be on, and then we'll read them, and yada, yada, yada. Roundtable@wamc.org if you prefer to do it the old way. Round five of the GOP presidential debate saw Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio clashing over national security and immigration. Donald Trump stood by his call to ban Muslims from entering the U.S., and Jeb Bush seemed a little more comfortable in taking Trump on, though it's not clear how much that'll help. Bush says Trump is a chaos candidate and would be a chaos president. Bush criticized Trump for his plan to ban Muslims from entering the U.S. Trump defended the proposal. He said, quote, "We're not talking about isolation. We're talking about security. We're not talking about religion. We're talking about security." This time, Trump had some words for CNN, which was, I thought, rather amusing. Trump said, "It's sad that CNN leads Governor Bush down a road by starting all of the questions. Mr. Trump, this. I think it's very sad." Donald Trump says he's now totally committed to the Republican Party, won't run as an independent if he's not the GOP nominee. That was the big news last night. Rand Paul directed a barb at Chris Christie, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, Christie had said he would shoot down Russian planes if they violated a no-fly zone over Syria. Christie also took the opportunity to call President Obama a feckless weakling. And then Rand Paul said, well, if you're in favor of World War III, you have your candidate. I don't know if you guys saw the debate. I watched
That's funny.
I watched it.
Every minute.
Yeah,
every
too.
Minute of both of them. Amazing entertainment. It was better than a Big Bang marathon.
What's Big Bang?
The Big Bang Theory.
The Big Bang,
is that
the
a good
popular,
show?
With Jim Parsons.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Funny?
Fabulous.
Is it a network
funny.
TV show? Because I find that they're pretty bad. Yes. Trite and not funny.
This is not trite. It's very funny.
Okay. All right. Well, Alan.
But the Republicans were better last night.
Well, let me ask you a question. Did I see, you know, that the Republicans insisted that they be able to put one of the questioners in the group, the guy with silver hair?
Yeah, Hugh Hewitt.
Yeah, what'd you say?
The conservative
Hugh Hewitt from Salem Radio Network.
Now,
and he's more right to Attila the Hun.
Right, now
he was fawning over all of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, he was fawning over everybody but Trump.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes,
that's true.
Because Trump is outside the establishment, and I think he was brought in there and represented the Republican establishment.
Oh, interesting.
And interestingly, I thought I saw him, correct me if I'm wrong, after he asked Trump the question about whether he would run as a third-party candidate.
And Trump said no.
No, and the questioner, the so-called journalist, applauded.
I think that is a disqualifier. If you are on a panel for a debate, you are disqualified for reacting in that way to any question,
well,
any answer.
He also had, Mr. Trump, everyone who calls into my show just loves you. They think you're the best. Also kind of disqualifying. He was fawning. He just loved them.
Yeah, but the fact that he was applauding, tells us a lot about who put him there and what their concerns are.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the candidates, not the newsmen, because that's what the focus was on.
Well,
let's
talk about it all.
Hold the phone.
Yeah, I think having having Hugh Hewitt there, however, is a big part of the story because it was a setup. I mean, you're not having hard questions. You're not having somebody who's going to be adversarial.
Okay. Well, I do think that who is the questioner and the questions they ask is a legitimate topic for discussion in this debate and all debates. There were several questions that I thought were clearly designed just to put Rubio and Cruz at each other's throat.
Oh, yeah.
Just to put Rand Paul and Christie at each other's throats.
Well, that's been the pattern through all of these
debates. Is that fair?
It makes for a better debate than just having one after another talk. Or not talk in the case of Ben Carson.
And we know what we knew. I said yesterday that it would be Trump and it would be Cruz and Rubio at each other,
right?
Because they're going after the same demographic and the same,
and they're all running against Hillary and Obama.
Yeah, I mean, Bernie Sanders is completely out of the picture. Yeah. They all were addressing on both debates, the baby debate and the big boy debate, that it was all Hillary as the target.
And I think that is, to me, is a departure from some of the earlier debates.
Yep,
they were
much more
focused on bringing it all back around to Hillary. And one of the things that they did, I'm sure consciously, all candidates tied Hillary to Obama. Hillary to Obama.
Yes.
As Bush was tied to Reagan.
She no longer has the choice of deciding whether or not to partner with Obama. The Republicans are going to put her in his camp. She seems more the architect of foreign policy than Obama.
Just as Gore was tied with Clinton when he was running, and I guess it's standard practice for politics.
Well, I'm watching. Hillary Clinton is very shrewd. I mean, she's really shrewd.
Like, that's right. She's nowhere to be seen.
Can we say smart instead of shrewd? Shrewd has a connotation.
Well, I think she is smart, and I thank you for that. And I'm sorry that I have offended you, Rosemary. However, I think she's very shrewd.
She is shrewd,
and part of being shrewd is being very smart, by the way. And she knows how to keep that necessary distance between herself and Obama, and she's been very good at that.
And herself and the clown car.
Yeah. I want to say one thing about this. A lot of liberals are very self-congratulatory about how these guys are screwing up and how...
Who are guys?
The guys that are in the clown car are screwing up.
The
Republicans. And how they're, making fools of themselves and all the rest of it. Yet, you look at the national polls, and they're all bunched up. Hillary and all these other guys... some of them are beating her right now. Some of them are 3 points behind. So that this is not going to be a cakewalk. I'm writing a column at this moment on the implications for New York State, which I find fascinating because what's going to happen is Hillary will be the candidate probably, or Bernie, it doesn't matter. But if it's Hillary, you're going to have a turnout like nothing you've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
I believe, like the flotsam and jetsam that is floating on the water in the ocean, it's all going to be sent out to sea, and that the Democrats are going to have a field day in New York because all those, and I can prove it, by the way, all those people who showed and all those people who show up are going to be voting Democratic, and they're going to say, oh, yeah, what are these other things?
Right. I agree with you. And I was thinking about this morning. That in 2016, we could probably see the Democrats take the Senate the state Senate with a real majority.
A majority enough so that the four or five traitors,
the
four or five
traitors cannot be an issue.
Yeah.
And I was thinking that of this, of course, in terms of what's going on with the Pride agenda, and this is not the time to close an organization when you have this opportunity in front of you, but the governor. You know, can't with what's been happening with Shelley and Skelos, he can't not be at the forefront of helping the Democrats take over the state Senate.
Well, Farr, from
the debate, by the way.
Right, right.
It's all kind of connected.
It is connected. But this is just my thoughts about this.
No, I think it's very important that you be allowed to say anything you want,
Libby. Oh, thank you, Alan. But going back to the
apparently
debate.
Apparently you guys are going to talk and we're not going to mention the debate. Maybe you and I can go out in the hall
Why don't we take a brief break?
We did mention the debate.
And then we're going to talk about the winners and losers from last night's debate. We'll refocus and we'll get back. It's the roundtable panel, and boy, we have fun. Alan Chartier.
Are you a little grumpier today, Rosemary, than usual?
Rosemary Armeo is here.
She's in pain.
Her
Libby
back.
Post is here. God, take me to the break,
point.
Roberto.
Support for WMC comes from Alacrity Frame Workshop, Lark Street, Albany, New York. Offering custom framing and local art in the capital region. Open 7 days a week. 518-915-1956. The Springfield Museum's featuring a Susie and Holiday gingerbread exhibit, plus cabinets of curiosity and the museum store with gifts for both kids and adults. SpringfieldMuseums.org. And Green Conscience Home and Garden, Saratoga Springs, offering natural and organic beds, mattresses, futons, and pillows made in the USA with cotton, wool, and natural latex. Green-conscience.com.
Hello again, sports fans. It's the Roundtable Panel. It is a Wednesday morning. Ray Graff is in for JoJo, a little under the weather today. We're joined by Libby Post, Rosemary Armeo, and Alan Shartok. Our email address is roundtable@wamc.org. And, Alan, do we have anything in the old mailbag this morning?
Not a lot, but I'll read you what we got.
All right.
Jay says, Christie, should Christie miraculously secure the nomination? Here's hoping the Democrats revive the Daisy ad from the Johnson-Goldwater race.
All of them were so incredibly hawkish. If you vote Republican this year, you are voting for war.
Right.
That was
We're
my gonna conclusion.
We're going to bomb them. We're going to wipe them off the face
Carson
of the earth.
Carson feels just fine killing out the thousands of innocent children.
That was
women
a terrible
children.
Question, by the way, and we'll talk about that in a minute. That was a ridiculously loaded question.
Well, he didn't handle it well.
He didn't.
If you're president
actually didn't
of the
answer
United
it.
States, you're going to get loaded questions and worse.
Right.
And he did not handle it
well.
Well,
that was a poor question.
Or as Obama said, the president, when he was lecturing the other day and having great fun with it, he said, "If these candidates can't handle the questions
right.
that are being asked there, can you
right.
imagine what they're going to be doing with Putin?"
Right.
You know,
right.
I mean, that's
and the other part of this is Donald Trump just going to smirk at all the world leaders when they say something that he doesn't like?
Or wave
like.
Them off. Didn't you
right.
love that? Like,
right. You know,
well,
I mean,
maybe.
Is that
gesture.
How he's going to handle our foreign policy?
Well,
with
maybe.
A smirk and a hand wave?
Maybe they'll be so scared of him that they'll behave.
Yeah,
who knows?
I don't think so.
Okay, W said, the debate was a slow-moving train wreck. Mr. Trump's facial expression was Saturday Night Live performance. Mr. Tough Guy from New Jersey was clearly scary and angry-looking. Help! Guy. Okay.
I liked when Rand Paul brought up the bridge incident.
Oh, that was great. Yeah.
That was a nicely delivered dig. Yeah.
Did you watch Christie's non-response?
Right.
Well,
just
sure.
sort of
he
gazing
just,
into space and not saying anything,
and
counting to 10.
Again, talking about something else.
Well, that was the right thing for him to do, by the way. Debate. Strangely absent. Climate change. Immigrants. Healthcare.
This was national security debate.
Inequality. Gun control were not mentioned. And the moderators, in quotes, did not vary from the script at all. The entire debate was a fear fest. Who could sustain the fair generated by the only issue mentioned? Who won? The American people. If enough of us grasp the fact that all Republicans offer is fear, terror, and war.
And hate. But
this was
and
a national security debate, after all.
Okay,
yes, but
fine.
Climate change is a national security issue. There's
That's
no
point,
two
Libby.
Ways about it.
Okay, so Joseph said, we did that. Did we do that? I think we did. Okay, so, he did it. We got it twice for some reason.
Oh, terrific.
He probably wrote it in and then put it on the website.
Tom.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, that's possible. Tom says, good morning, Roundtable.
Good morning.
Not liking horror movies, I took a pass on last night's Republican debates. From the clips I've seen, I wasn't wrong in avoiding the scrum.
I don't know about
no,
that.
No, you're wrong. This is picking the president of the United States. You got to watch this stuff. You have to learn. You should not boast about missing it.
I really did.
At
I
what
had
point?
A meeting. I came home. We DVR'd it. I started watching it. And believe it or not, I fell asleep at part of it. And about an hour in, I said, I'll read the clips in the morning.
As I watched this last night, and the all those people on the stage becoming more and more snippy and acrimonious toward one another, with the
true.
Exception of Trump and Cruz and Carson, who all seem to be great buddies. Alan, at what point does this become the fabled Shartok circular firing squad? And at what point is the entire team of them going to have to take an off-screen huddle and say, look, five of us have to get out soon or we're cooked?
Yeah, you go. They're going to say you go and you go,
right, right.
but not me.
Everyone's going to point.
I mean, look, this is the presidency of the
I
United States.
President.
This is the top political office. This is the golden ring, if there ever was a golden ring, and you're not going to convince them that's not. George Pataki, he hasn't got 1%, and he's sticking in there for whatever
I think
reason.
They're going to leave. I think there's a dignity question. I think Jeb is going to leave soon. He was pathetic. He really tried. He's very qualified. He just cannot compete in these debates.
I can't figure him out. Now, he comes from this dad and brother certainly handled this situation very well. He doesn't seem to have a fire in his belly to do this.
He just seems sort of lost. It was like, where's Waldo? He kept trying to grasp at a zinger and he couldn't do it.
Like he's doing it because he has to and he doesn't really want to do it.
Well, I don't know if he doesn't really want to do it. I just don't think he has the one-line ability to really you know,
hit back. He can't put it across.
He's
Trump is mocking him as having a massive fail. And he's smiling. He was smiling, mm-hmm. that uncomfortable smile of people who have inappropriate facial gestures.
I don't agree with you, Rosemary, respectfully. I mean, I think he was trying to put a look on his face which was sort of benign. Oh, there you go again.
That's right. It was more of a there you go again.
I think that's what he was basically
doing. I think
he's
more of a policy wonk than W was.
Oh,
and W was able to, you know, be the good old boy, and Jeb is not, doesn't have that kind of personality.
I think Jeb's smarter. Anyway, Robert says, winners and losers. Winners, Christy, Cruz, and Rubio. Losers, immigrants, U.S. Muslim citizens, diplomacy, America. And that's Bob.
Good letter.
I'm not sure Rubio was a winner last night, based on what I saw.
No, he did not do well against Cruz on immigration and on national security.
I think Cruz had his best night of the five debates thus far.
Last night?
Yeah.
Cruz. He was much more vocal. He's very much empowered by his great standings in the polls.
He invoked Reagan more times than you could count.
Yeah.
And so that's by design as well.
Yep.
So that is what I have, my friend.
All right. Winners and losers. Let's go around the table. Libby. And don't say Muslims and the American people. Give me a candidate.
Go to Alan first.
Alan.
Okay. I think this is not an Alan endorsement, of course.
Of course. It's your assessment.
Yeah, my assessment. I think Cruz, because as you say, the bandwagon is now sailing. People want to be on the side of the winner, and therefore Cruz comes off with a level of confidence. I think that the other guys, I don't see it. I think what we're going to find is that Trump holds his own in terms of the polls.
Rosemary?
I would say the clear loser were Carson, who just looked mm-hmm. extremely incompetent. Carly Fiorina sounded shrill, and she had one note, which is, you know, call us technocrats. We can help you politicians.
By the way, only you are allowed to call her shrill. If Alan does that, that's
right,
a problem.
Right, then it's sexist.
I'm allowed to call her
shrill.
You are too,
yeah.
Libby.
Yes,
you can call her shrill.
And I'm not allowed to call her shrill.
We've got 20
Rand
seconds.
Paul seems to have given up already. He used his time to take very good and pointed mm-hmm. potshots at everybody else.
Yep. And Libby, now you have to give me an answer.
Okay, I think Cruz did better than expected and is positioning himself to take the nomination if in a brokered convention.
All right, now we got into the brokered convention.
And Carson was a loser.
All right, let's go to a break. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll break for news, and then we'll be back. We'll switch gears. Stand by. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC, 9:33 on a Wednesday. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Joined today on the panel by Alan Shartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post. Our email address is roundtable@wamc.org. Or, of course, you can go to our website, wamc.org/roundtable. And you can click on today's show and comment there as well. A couple of letters to go, and then we'll change topics here, Alan. What are you doing?
I was trying to put my ear thing.
You got an earpiece. You know, it's like an IFB?
No, it's called a hearing aid.
Ah!
I was trying to put it in, but it's defying my ability.
All right. Well,
okay, so
we'll
John,
have somebody do it for you.
So John says, I wonder, am I alone in worrying about these two upstart zealots who get elected? Let me start again.
Okay.
I wonder, am I alone in worrying about these two upstart zealots who get elected to Congress and Senate and then believe they're qualified to be president? Scares me more than climate change. Okay.
Now,
that would be
I don't get it, though.
Cruz. Mm-hmm. That would be Rubio on Cruz. Rubio.
Our current president
that.
Was in Senate for a cup of coffee, and he apparently he was qualified. So,
well, the Republicans don't think they
I love
was.
Ray. Our current president was in office for a cup of coffee.
That's
is
great.
That good or what?
That is really good.
I mean, that's good. Okay, let's go to John. Is it just me or is it Cruz beginning to morph into Nixon? All right.
Get Halderman on the phone.
Mackenzie, I wish I could have watched the debate. The other half wouldn't let me. Thanks for the coverage.
Oh, it was worth watching.
Don't you have two TVs in your house, Mackenzie?
Two TVs. That's an interesting
Some
point.
Of our listeners have no TVs, Lib. Yeah, I got to be honest with you.
That's right.
I know.
That's right, Lib. And then
we have four for two people.
And the other question is, what other offers were on the table? Okay, so to...
What the heck do you mean by that?
You are a bad man. It's too early in the morning to be saying those things.
You know what?
What?
Oh, God. Put your hearing, take your hearing aids out. Good Lord.
Okay. Mary Pat says.
So wrong.
Oh, God.
So wrong. And you know, there are cameras here, Libby. Just want to say.
No, I got it. I'm shocked. Shocked, I say.
Shocked that there's talk of those things in this control room.
Mary Pat says.
Get me out of here.
On Trump saying he will not run as a third party candidate. If it suits Donald Trump to change his mind, he will. He's not a politician. He's a competitive businessman. His allegiance is to his brand of being a winner. If Cruz or Rubio gain more momentum through the primaries, I predict he will conveniently change his mind because he can.
He'll say, look, I'm a winner, and I don't need to be president. That will be his thing. I've already won the hearts and minds of the United States, of the people. I don't need to be president.
Rosemary, you and I both watched this, and in fact, more than once, or I watched it 1.5 times. Did we see a softer, kinder, gentler Trump last night?
He was respectful even at one point and said, I'm honored to be the front runner. And if I win, I would work very hard for the Republicans.
But not when he was yelling at Bush that you've only got, 3% or whatever he was saying, right. And I've got 41%. That wasn't kind and easy.
I think in the polls immediately after he came in fourth or fifth, which is lower than he ever has, and it's because he did less of the yelling at Bush kind of thing,
keep
and
it up.
He did try to be a little more soft.
Who won in the polls?
It doesn't work for him.
Who won in the overnight poll?
Cruz did really well.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. Yeah.
See, there you go. Okay. That's right. We read that one. And my friend is reminding me that we have lunch together today.
No. Terrific.
Okay, yeah. What's it?
Are we good now?
I think so.
Terrific. Schools in the Los Angeles area will reopen today following threats of a large-scale jihadi attack that shut down the entire school district yesterday. Don't know if you happen to have one of the cable news networks on yesterday, late morning, early afternoon. Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti says the FBI has concluded it wasn't a credible threat. Garcetti says the motivation for the email remains a mystery. Now, New York City schools received the same threat, but dismissed it as a hoax and continued with classes. That's New York. Hey, forget about it. Get to class.
Well, you gotta really think for a second that, you're out there on the left coast and you're worrying about, okay, if this thing turns out to be true. I'm going to, I'll be a laughingstock forever. I'll never have another job again. I'll never work again. Whereas in New York, I think you're right. It's sort of forget about it, you know.
Well, New York fairly quickly decided it was a hoax. And I think that the FBI and the LAPD probably were along those same lines. The school board in Los Angeles said, well, San Bernardino, let's take no chances.
Exactly. There in California where we just had a terrorist attack, was that really a wrong decision? I think New York just had better investigation faster.
And what about the next day? In other words, if it worked day one, how many times can you not have students in any of your 500 schools?
Well, they're here. They're going to be going today.
They're going today.
No, they are. Because maybe they haven't gotten a second threat. But what if they got a threat every day?
See, this is one of the things that I was thinking about with regard to New York City. They immediately said, okay, this is not a real threat. And so they didn't bring it up until it was brought up that Los Angeles had closed all the schools. How many copycats will this spawn? How many kids who don't want to take their tests?
Sure. Schools have dealt with that for years with just plain old bomb threats, not terrorism. Right. And they have taken a policy that they don't advertise it. They don't do anything other than investigate each one as if it could be real and then take appropriate action. They have to do that now because it would be very easy to shut down schools totally in this
way. I'll tell you, it's a real question in the newsroom, in any newsroom. It's when does it become newsworthy enough that you kind of go over that line and say, well, this school district is closed because of this. You know that there is the chance of copycats. And every time you mention it in the news, you'll get a letter from somebody saying, you know what, don't mention this. It's going to cause copycats. Right. But at what point, as a journalist, Rosemary, do you say, I have to cover this?
Yeah, I had this actual situation in Baltimore when area schools were getting, you know, one threat after another. And the schools were going crazy trying to figure out where it was coming from and how to react. And I thought because of that, it was worth the story, the worry and the cost and expense of dealing with the issue for administrators made it a story. You have to take take it seriously, whether or not covering or keeping it quiet is better than not covering it. I think the debate now about what administrators should do is very healthy because it's something a lot of administrators have to deal with. Mm. We're going to get more threats, not less.
Well, you know, one of the things that does happen is every once in a while they catch one of these creeps mm-hmm. who sends the stuff in and they throw the book at them. Mm-hmm. Which they should, because it really right. has profound implications. Think right. of all the mothers out there and fathers who had to
take off work.
Yeah, stop.
Well, there was a guy last night who on the news who had a 4-year-old son, and he said, "My son is happy and doesn't understand what's going on, and now I have to explain this to him, and I don't want him to be scared."
Quite a world,
you know. Right, it is, and I get it in Los Angeles because of what happened in San Bernardino, and everybody's on Tinder hooks, and this is like one of the first times they've had to deal with something like this, and then you know, so I get why they did it. I'm glad it wasn't. Real, and that New York was able to uncover it as a hoax. You know, I think that Branton, you know, because he sort of said, well, we didn't and they shouldn't have. And
yeah.
I think he shouldn't have said that.
No.
I think he should have just...
perfectly understandable.
Right. I think he should have just said, well, we've uncovered it's not a real hoax. We understand why L.A. did it because L.A. knew about it before, I think. And
4 hours earlier.
Yeah, 4 hours earlier. And just, you know, move on.
Well, it's funny.
Except if he's still upset that he's no longer police commissioner there, I don't know.
We had it on, and it seemed that very early into this whole event, there was an almost apologetic tone among everybody who was at the press conference, from the school board to the police to every. They hadn't even yet said it was a hoax.
In but LA.
It was almost, they were already covering their tracks yeah. to some extent.
Right.
We got criticized from, I got criticized.
Terrific.
Rosemary is great. Hearing Alan ask her on air, she's grumpy is upsetting. More of a current.
No, I am. I am grumpy. Yeah. I have terrible back pain. He's right.
Yes.
Well, I want to read the whole thing here. More of her current feminist viewpoints and less of Alan's elderly, white man's passive aggressive, male chauvinist communication style would do your listening audience well. Okay.
All right.
Alan, I think more highly of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that.
All right, old timer, what else you got?
Okay. Scott says, "Dear friends, last night I found myself in this strange and uncomfortable position of actually rooting for Bush, Christie, and Paul." Strange
true.
Times.
Yeah. True. I did too. I understand that.
Yeah, you didn't want Bush to really go down in flames.
Yeah, because he is qualified, you know. I disagree with him, but he's...
Kasich, I think, is now... any chance of that ship sailing is done.
Yeah.
I mean,
the only thing I was thinking about is whether Kasich would be a good vice presidential nominee. The problem with that is that, you know, the right-wing zealots who can't be satisfied would probably raise hell if they tried to nominate a guy who was going to be a heartbeat away from the presidency who's reasonable.
Kasich did make a point, and it was done in a subtle way, but... It was certainly a stinging point to all the politicians on the stage. Nobody's won the president. No GOP candidate has won the presidency without winning Ohio. He just sort of said
threw
it in an offhand
in.
Way, mm-hmm. and that's a point.
Well, Florida is also kind of important too, and Jeb Bush did not use that as a debating point.
He probably
Michigan,
wouldn't win it.
Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cruz didn't use it. He didn't have to. He doesn't think he has to.
Okay, I didn't understand that one, so I'm not going to read it.
Fair enough.
Okay. I think Rand Paul showed up at the wrong debate, ? I think Rand Paul showed up at the wrong debate.
Well, I don't get it.
I'll read the rest.
Okay.
He sounded more like a Democrat, ?
He did.
Cruz scares me. He was a bully and skirted the answers. Trump came out as a loser. He did not even know what the triad was. He came off totally incompetent. I don't really think there's anyone who has the ability on the stage at all except Kasich. And even he was, quote, "don't let the Muslims in."
Okay. Is that it?
That's that.
Roundtable at WMC.org is the email address. We appreciate your brief missives.
One last one, okay, from Akasha. Hi, all. The L.A. school district had a few differences from New York's threat. One was that the L.A. threat was traced back to Germany, which led them to believe it was not a student trying to get out of exams. Thank you for all you do, and thank you.
And there's some question about whether it was, rooted through Germany, but may have originated much closer to home.
Interesting.
These kids today are so clever with the routing of the emails and the IP addresses. I tell you.
Carly likes them. They know their technology.
She likes them. And we won't hear from
I want to hear about that truck of equipment she stopped at the request of NSA. Did you hear that?
Yeah. No. What?
Yeah. The NSA needed some help stopping terrorists, so they called on her and her company. She doesn't name the company, but...
Well, she said it was... We helped.
Yeah, it must have been. That's the only company she worked at. And we helped. All the politicians have to do is ask us, and we technocrats can help you out.
Yeah, all right. The Fed is poised to raise short-term interest rates for the first time in nearly a decade. A rate hike will be a sign that top Fed officials think the U.S. economy is now strong enough to be weaned from the extraordinary level of support provided by the central bank. Fed officials wrap up their December meeting today, and I think the announcement may come around 2 p.m. Markets expect them to hike the federal funds rate, which is what banks charge to lend each other overnight, by 0.25 percentage points to a range of 0.25 to 0.5%. Now, when the Fed slashed rates to near zero in December of 2008, few anticipated that they would stay there for 7 years. Past surveys showed that many economists expected the first hike to be around 2010. But this recovery from the economic downturn has taken a long time, and they say it's taken since the last one in the 30s to bounce back. The question is whether we have, in fact, bounced back. And I think one of the articles we assigned for reading for this mentioned that it could be a very short-term rate hike.
Well, you know, they're going to try it. And I think a lot of the fiscal analysts are saying, well, you know, this has all been factored in by the street already. They all think that it's going to happen. There are some people who think that if it does happen, it is a note to skeptics of the system that U.S. is strong, and therefore, if we can do it, and there's some people who think that foreign investors are going to be drawn to the United States because of this, and that could hurt. The places where they've got their money right now.
So in other words, the outflow from China, they expect the outflow from China to increase.
It could, and from other third world countries who also do a lot of banking here and a lot of investing, you know, in this country. So if they take it out of countries that really need it, their own money, in order to put it into a stronger, safer place, that could hurt the economies of the places that they're coming from.
Now, assuming that they do raise interest rates today, then they'll be watching the inflation rate.
Right.
Inflation being prices rising while the amount of money in the market goes up and the value of the dollar goes down.
Well, sure. If for example, we have to hire people in this country and we're at, allegedly, because I never believe this stuff, but allegedly we're at 5% unemployment as opposed to 10% or 8% unemployment, in order to get good people, you got to pay more money. And that may mean inflation. We don't know.
It always used to seem like a dirty word, and now I think they're hoping for a little inflation. Right.
Well, yeah, sometimes if you don't have inflation, you don't have what's considered to be healthy. All I know is that I remember when a Coca-Cola was 5 cents.
Yeah. You probably remember when it still had cocaine in it. I mean, that goes back to the 20s, right?
I really don't know, but I was feeling good in those days.
Ooh, cocaine, that sounds good.
Rosemary, your back issues would not be helped by that.
Actually, all of this stuff on the Fed, I love that it's now part of a popular debate. We didn't talk about stuff the Fed did, you know, 10 or 15 years ago when times were good. Now we're all kind of experts on monetary policy. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. And for those people who would like to see me retire, if the market does go down significantly.
Forget about it.
It's not happening, huh?
Forget about it.
Right. I think we can forget about it anyway.
I think you're right.
Right, you are. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. If you want to weigh in on that topic, that would be nice. After announcing a deadlock 9 hours into deliberations, a Baltimore jury is resuming its work in the trial of William Porter, one of six police officers charged in the death of Freddie Gray. The third day of deliberations today follows a jury note to the judge yesterday saying members had been deadlocked. And the judge said, keep working. Porter faces manslaughter, assault, reckless endangerment, and misconduct in office stemming from Gray's death. Prosecutors say Porter is partially responsible for Gray's death for failing to buckle the man into a seatbelt and not calling an ambulance when he indicated he was in distress. Porter told jurors he didn't think Gray was injured and that it was the van's driver's responsibility to fasten Gray's seatbelt.
Okay, so let me just start off by saying, you know, people don't, jurors don't like to convict cops. They don't like to convict cops. It's that simple. And this is a tough one. I mean, I know that there are a lot of very angry people out there as a result of the cops not doing the right thing and stopping and sending this guy to the hospital. But it does seem to many of people, I'm sure, who support their police, that this isn't the kind of criminal case that's indicated here.
Yeah, they knew, prosecutors knew this would be a difficult case, all of them.
And is that why they went with this one first?
That supposedly is it. They thought they had the most because he clearly violated a police rule that you had to buckle in prisoners in that back. However, he was great on the stand. He really helped his defense. And he said, look, you know, I never buckled in anyone. This, yes, I know it was a rule. It was widely disregarded both in training and in practice. I've never seen a prisoner buckled up. That resonates. Well, the jurors listened to that. He was good.
The frightening thing for prosecutors is that, and as I understand it, Porter will be asked to testify in the other five or some of the other five cases. And if there is a mistrial here and he is awaiting trial again, he can't testify in any of those.
He cannot, but they also could delay all the other trials. The real problem is if he is acquitted. And then how is he going to testify? I got off, but now I'm going to rat out these guys. All the cases are endangered if he's acquitted.
Now, you know, I think we've been having so much fun. Roberto, did I miss the break? Okay, let's take a short break, and then we'll come back and wrap it up. It's the Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support for WAMC comes from the Museum at Bethel Woods, exploring the story of the 60s and Woodstock, Thursday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., through December 31st, bethelwoodcenter.org/museum. Saratoga Bridges, Ballston Spa, New York, a community resource for people with disabilities and their families, supported employment, day services, and more, saratogabridges.org. And H. Houston & Son True Value Hardware, Woodstock, locally owned since 1932, offering holiday decorations and gifts for kitchen, workshop, and home. Behind every project is a true value. HHoust.com.
It's the Roundtable panel on WAMC. It's 9:53 Wednesday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe, who's ailing a bit, but he should be back here, back in the saddle maybe tomorrow. We're
good
joined
luck,
by
Big Joe,
Libby Post, and Alan Shartok, and Rosemary Armea, who's also ailing but is here.
I dragged my butt in here.
You walked in. You're like Tiny Tim walking in the building.
I know.
God bless us, everyone.
I know. I'm gonna make Joe feel bad about that, and when he shows up again.
Yeah, on the other hand, you're not hurling. I mean, I think he might be.
That's
so
true. That's a good point.
We appreciate that. You know, very, very much.
Right.
The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. Alan, I guess we have a couple of...
We do. Rosemary, you can thank Ron Paul for bringing the Fed into mainstream conscience.
True.
It is important to understand how this impacts inequity in our country. Everyone should read the book, What the Government Has Done to Our Money, by Murray Rothbard. And that's from Corey.
Thank you, Corey.
Okay.
Fiat currency, don't you know?
Yeah, this is, you see, sometimes it looks like they're real letters, but it turns out when you get to the bottom, for more on this, call me in California.
Yeah.
You know, that
okay.
kind of stuff. Okay. I got it. Okay, Jamie says, remember how Alan panicked when the fiscal financial crisis first occurred? He did a week of shows on how we would never be able to retire. Pointing out to him that he was never going to retire anyway was of no consequence. How is he doing now?
Okay. He's doing well.
Why is it that I have a sign on me that says, kick me?
No.
Okay.
Well, we could just say it. He can't hear it without his hearing aid, so he's saying, kick him.
That's not a subject for on the air.
I just love listening. Thank you, Libby.
You're welcome.
It was nice knowing you. I just love listening to Alan and David's early morning segment as they effusively compliment each other in their sleepy, low, and scratchy voices. The sexual tension is palpable.
Barry White music on in the background.
Oh, that's funny.
This good morning, brave homoeroticism is so rare, even in today's enlightened environment.
And they don't even know it. That's the thing.
David,
I guarantee
David
you,
cannot be listening.
I guarantee
oh,
you,
sure
writer, whoever you
moment.
Are, that Alan and David have no idea that they're being homoerotic.
David's looking in the door very concerned.
When,
okay.
When did this show exactly get away from me?
Okay. We don't know.
And, just pull the plug.
Yeah, you know what?
And Jan says, sorry to hear Rosemary's back pain. If she needs a massage, I'm not opposed to a happy ending.
I think of... Wow, we're getting some really spicy emails.
Speaking of homoerotic,
check,
huh?
Right. Please. All right, that's it. All right, that's, I've had it. No more letters. Everybody's done.
There are no more letters.
Good.
Okay, so let's talk
except
about
from
Pete
Henry.
Rose.
Except for Henry, who says, Carly is so casual as to the Fiorina, as to facts, even for a politician. She commented right. All administration had to do was ask tech companies to hand over encryption algorithms to
and
the
they
government.
Would do it. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It was that easy? Tech yeah. firms have refused to work with the government. Ask the FBI. That's
it's
from
true.
Henry.
Are we done?
No.
Okay. Pete Rose. Oh, you got more letters?
There's one. You want
right,
it or not?
Right,
you want to talk about Pete Rose again?
Yes.
Ken says, please do not do a little investigative reporting about General Butler and the plot to overthrow Roosevelt. I don't expect you to say anything about it on the radio.
Too late.
But it would give you a better idea of what's happening now and how we got here. All right. Thank you, Ken. Hmm. Go ahead. Pete Rose.
You done? You sure you're done?
Well.
Going to interrupt me again?
Well, yeah.
All right.
Just go.
Go ahead.
Just take out your hearing aid. Here we go. Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred has rejected Pete Rose's plea for reinstatement, citing his continued gambling. Pete Rose insisted yesterday he's a changed person, even if he still likes to bet on occasional baseball games. In Rose's word, my whole life has been a Hall of Fame life. He's disappointed about not being allowed back into baseball, but he wants to get into the Hall of Fame, which is a separate issue. All right, in the last minute we have, Libby Post, does Pete Rose deserve to be in the Hall of Fame?
No, but it's up to the journalists. Who make that decision.
And there's
and
a policy.
And it's two different things. But they decided if you're out of baseball, then you're out of the Hall of Fame. And I don't think he is the example we want for our children who look up to baseball players.
Do they still look up to baseball players?
Yeah.
Rosemary.
Yes, he should. He was a remarkable, remarkable player. And if he gets in, there'll still be the asterisk explaining his wrongdoing.
Well,
absolutely, he deserves
Alan.
It.
No.
Does not deserve it?
Well, I think Libby's right here. I mean, you know, if you do a murder and 5 years later you say, okay, I'm a different person now.
You still did a murder.
Did a murder. This guy bet on baseball
he
games.
He bet yeah, on his own team.
You're not supposed to do
it's
that.
He bet for his team.
It's one of the main.
He didn't bet against them.
It doesn't matter. He's
okay,
I know
bet.
It doesn't. He's
Rosemary,
paid the price.
When he was a manager, let me tell you how you're not thinking fully on this. When he was a manager, he was betting occasionally on his team or more than occasionally.
Right.
Say you're the manager and you throw a grand down on your team. Now, say you have a pitcher whose arm is a little tired. He pitched 2 days
That's
ago,
right.
And he's your best pitcher. And gosh, dang, I got $1,000 on this game. I'm putting him in anyway.
Okay,
put his
wait.
Career at risk.
Wait
Bam.
A minute. Wait a minute. You're saying that because I think he belongs in the Hall of Fame, I condone gambling. Those two things are unconnected.
Oh, I condone gambling, but not
yeah,
not for Pete Rose.
Actually, that's good. I think he belongs in the Hall of Fame because it's not intended to make role models. It's intended to honor fantastic playing. He was a fantastic player.
What about
yeah,
right,
but also,
in the last
like,
10
get,
seconds?
You get plenty of managers in the Hall of Fame, and Ray's point is absolutely on target.
Oh my God, she never said that before.
I know. You got $1,000 on the game. You want to win the bet, and you put somebody in just to make sure that you win the bet.
We don't disagree. The gambling is wrong. I get it.
Okay, quickly. We have 10 seconds. What about steroids? Barry Bonds, in or out? Libby. Hall of Fame.
Out.
You.
Out.
You.
In.
In. In on the steroids, out on the gambling.
Yeah.
What about Gil Hodges? He deserves it. He did nothing wrong.
He certainly deserves it.
All right, he's not in. What's the? All right, we're out of time.
He
oh boy,
be.
Round. This whole show has been off the rails. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
It's because you're hosting.
That's right. Hour two is
Bring
on the
back,
way.
Bring back Joe.